SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Individual Defensive Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by my friendo, Gary Davenport. Follow him on the Twitter at IDP Sharks. Gary, not a great weekend for either one of us in terms of our teams. Browns got stomped. Of course, you guys at least had the excuse of, you know, your starting quarterback was out 2 days before the game. And also your starting tight end apparently burned up his whole body 2 days before the game. Steelers are just terrible on offense. So I don't know, man. Weird weekend for me. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was all right, I suppose. I mean, other than, you know, the Browns game. I went to the Renaissance Festival on Saturday, so that was fun.
Ah, nice. Did you get some mead and drink? Eat a big old turkey leg while you were there?
I did not have a turkey leg, but there may have been some mead involved.
Of course, of course. I mean, it's the Renaissance Fair. There were some enormous performances this week, Gary. I mean, I believe you said Khalil Mack put up the most points in deathmatch history for a defensive player. Is that correct?
I can't remember anyone ever putting up that many. I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty that it was a record, but 104-point-something points. Yeah, that's a lot for one guy to score.
Yeah, and just in your normal leagues, 42.5 points, 6 sacks for him, 6 of his 8 tackles were sacks, also had 2 forced fumbles on those sacks. So, I mean, this is is the Raiders O-line or the Giants O-line worse? It has to be the Giants, right?
Yeah, I think it's got to be that Giants line. It's just awful.
Is this the worst line you've ever seen in your life, this offensive line? It looks so bad.
How many sacks did they give up last night? 37?
Nah, I think it was 10.
11, actually.
Was it 11? Oh, man. It was 'cause 11. They were like, Aikman and Joe Buck were kind of joking in the booth. You know, they're like, oh, you know, well, it's not your 11 sack game. LOL, LOL, LOL. The whole night, and then it ended up being 11, huh? So I was on Betting Pros before the Monday Night Football game. PZP and I do a prop show where I go over my favorite props, and I had Nwosu at 0.25 sacks. It was like plus 145, and he was the 8th guy to get a sack. I was like, every guy on this team is going to have a sack besides Nwosu. Little did I know that there was enough to go around for everybody. You know, there could have been, with 11, there could have been one for every starter, but obviously a couple guys got
it. Yeah, Bobby Wagner picking up two. Things were close in the Kings Classic Dick Butkus division between myself and Iggy Gilbert going into last night's game, but thanks in large part to Bobby Wagner and his two sacks, they wound up being not quite so close in the end.
Yeah, I mean, just in a standard league, also 27.5 points for Wagner, 28.75 for Devin Witherspoon. He had 2 sacks, a pick 6. Quay Walker had 19 tackles. Jordan Brooks had 2 sacks and 10 tackles and a fumble recovery. Harrison Smith up over 30 with 3 sacks and 14 tackles and a forced fumble. Nicholas Morrow had 3 sacks as well. Jaron Bland with a pick 6. DJ Wanham scoop and score. Antoine Winfield with 6-3, a sack, a forced fumble recovery, and a pass deflection. And Kyle Duggar with 15 tackles. 11 players over 20 points in just your regular standard type of league here, Gary. I mean, that is some enormous performances. The defense are way better than the offenses this week.
Yeah, there was some pretty ugly offense going on in quite a few games.
Yes, I know. Your game was real bad. My game was real bad. And then somehow the Giants upstaged the Steelers and the Raiders and the Browns. I mean, it's just some ugly offense. I mean, even with Aiden O'Connell, the Raiders look fine. So, but your boy Myles Garrett did pick up a foot injury, but y'all are on a bye week this week. So seems like he's going to be back after the bye, and there's probably going to be no lingering issues. It seems, right?
Yeah, to my knowledge, he should be fine after the bye.
Micah Parsons is expected to play on Sunday after picking up a knee injury this Sunday, but he also didn't put up very many points here, Gary. So your thoughts on Micah Parsons moving forward? Is he a safe start this week, kind of hobbled, or are you worried?
What are you going
to do? You got to play him, right?
Right. I mean, you can have a little bit of concern that maybe he's going to be a little limited, and the 49ers, of course, aren't the best matchup, but you know, you sit Parsons and he blows up for 3.5 sacks. You wind up losing your weekly matchup and you're mad at yourself for 4 days. I can't imagine if Micah Parsons is on the field, then he's got to be in your lineup.
Well, it's like, let's say he's questionable leading up to game time and you could replace him with like a Nicholas Morrow or someone like that. Like, it's very limited.
Well, that would be the issue, is if he's a game time decision, that's the Sunday night game. So you're going to need to have a plan B in order. So if you're a Parsons manager, you know, maybe you go out and roster a Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Who's probably available in a lot of leagues. And that way you've got kind of a plan B just in case he would be inactive. But like you said, I'm pretty sure he's going to play. That's a big NFC showdown coming on Sunday night. So
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Really? Which, it's a nice change of pace, because I covered the Sunday night game at Bleacher Report. And this last week, you know, Chiefs, Jets, I was like, oh, yeah, this should be. It was a lot more dramatic than I thought it was going to be. Let's put it that way. And it certainly didn't look like that way in the first quarter. But
way better than the Monday night game.
Zach Wilson looked like an NFL quarterback there for a little while.
Did you see all those stats? It was like the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career, college or professional, where the opposing QB has finished with more completions, more touchdowns, and less interceptions, and more yards than him. So just a weird kind of stat to have for him, but you know, good on him. I like it when the MILF Hunter looks good, so I think it's funny. I would love for him to just look amazing for the rest of the season, and then what do you do with Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, that's what I want. I just want the chaos, you know.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen though, because okay, Zach Wilson looked great for most of the game, and then what's he do? Bobbles a shotgun snap, and that winds up costing the Jets the game. At some point, Zach Wilson has to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I mean, is it Zach Wilson or is it just this franchise? Like, doesn't matter who you stick back there. They're all either hurt or bad. So
you can see the light bulb go on and say, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm Zach Wilson. And then he has to turn it over.
For a second, I was having an out-of-body experience and I was someone else. Von Miller.
That's what happened with Daniel Jones last year. Now he got that big paycheck. And then he remembered, hey, wait a second.
Well, come on. They're not even giving him one Mississippi to throw. It's not really Daniel Jones' fault. I mean,
got Breda out there averaging, what, 1.6 feet a carry? And
yeah. I mean, even, even Aikman was out there like, I'm very happy that, you know, Daniel Jones is able to keep his cool here, because I wouldn't be able to, you know. And it was like, OK, well, I mean, Daniel Jones is just that kind of guy. I think he's just a nice dude. But also, like, I mean, at some point it was like, well, anybody would be mad if they just keep getting hit. I cannot believe they let him play the whole game, to be honest. I was surprised Tyrod didn't get anything there. But just a weird one anyway. Lots of injuries this week too. Matthew Judon, torn biceps tendon. Looks like he's just out. Other injuries here. Kwity Paye with a concussion. David Ojabo might not make it back this season, according to Harbaugh. He was placed on the IR with knee and ankle. issues last week. Alex Wright left with a chest injury. Davin Godshaw with an ankle. And then on the defensive backs, Gary, just a ton of them. I mean, poor Jamal Adams. Homie works all the way to come back and then gets kneed in the head. And did you see him yelling at the non-NFL neurotraumatic response person, whoever, the guy in the red cap, when they made him come off the field? He's yelling at him down the hall and stuff. I was like, you just took a knee right to the head, and then, you know, you laid on the ground for a second. They got to take you out for that. That's like the number one thing. What are you talking about? So, yeah, he was obviously upset, but, you know, it was kind of, what are you supposed to do, man? You just got kneed in the head and laid there for a second. That's like the thing. And then they ruled him out, which means he should have come off the field. He came off the field at the right time. Poor Trey White also out for the season with an Achilles injury. Just guts you. Ugh. So bad for that guy. Dallas Flowers also with an Achilles. That's just not good for defensive backs' careers moving forward. Christian Gonzalez left with a shoulder injury. Brendan Echols with a hamstring. David Long with an ankle. Cam Taylor-Britt with a concussion. Dante Jackson with a shoulder. Ryan Neal with a concussion. And then JT Woods, I hate it when they do this stuff. They just said medical condition, like an illness or something. So he has COVID or something else is going on. But I just, I don't know, Gary, I get annoyed when I hear medical condition. Like one time in baseball, Carlos Carrasco missed half the year with what they called a blood disorder. And I was like, why would they go as far to tell us it's a blood disorder and not tell us what it is? It ended up being leukemia. So I get it. Like, you want to keep it private, but if he's trying to keep it private, then don't tell people it's a blood disorder. You know, I don't know. That's just, it's just very strange to me. So JT Woods out, I guess, indefinitely at this point with something. So any other injuries I missed that you saw?
No, I think you covered them all. Done that leap to mind. I just can't get over the Judon one because I loved him so much coming into the year, and he was off to such a great start. And it just, as soon as I heard, I don't have him many places because I kept getting sniped. Because I spent the entire summer talking him up, but still, that sucks.
Yeah, I have Quiddy Pay in a couple spots, and that hurts as well. So hopefully, you know, he'll just be out for the week or whatever. But usually when you have a concussion, you're out at least another week. So, yeah, I mean, not a lot of shares, guys, for me here. Not a lot of and weird. Were there really no linebacker injuries outside of, you know, like, sure, you can call Judon a linebacker or whatever. He's really an end for us. But I didn't see any linebacker issues.
No, none that
weird.
Really, I'm trying to think. We've already got quite a few linebackers that were banged up, though.
Sure. It's just like strange.
We went in a week, no Josie Jewell, no Nick Bolton, no Devondre Campbell. I'm sure there are a couple other guys that I'm just not thinking of.
Well, yeah, Troy Anderson done for the year. So,
Nate Landman.
Nate Landman. He gets those tackles, man. He stacks them up. All right, well, let's take a break, and then let's go and look at the performances of the week. All right, Gary, let's start at defensive line, where we had Josh Allen have three sacks. Two for Crosby, two for Nwosu, two for Gregory Rousseau, two for Thibodeau, even though he's only on the field for like 10 minutes. 10 points or more from Hubbard, Sweat, Hendrickson, Donald, Jonathan Allen, Javon Hargrave, and Aiden Hutchinson. So your big-time performers perform big-time out of those guys. The guys that didn't perform as well, so many guys here, Gary, under 4 points and rostered over 50%. Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Alex Highsmith, Montez Sweat, Buckner, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Danico Autry, Derek Brown, Karloftis, Payne, Burns, Lawrence, Bosa, Pay. Pay got hurt. I mean, I'm not too worried. It's two bad weeks in a row for Alex Highsmith, although I think the Steelers defense is going to be on the field a lot moving forward. So I'm not really, you know, nervous about him. Is there anyone here that you are kind of, you know, at least raising the eyebrow at here?
No, You know, like I said, with the edge rusher, sometimes you just got to be willing. Like, we have some injuries, so, you know, that's something you got to deal with. And I wouldn't freak out. I mean, hey, we look at the bright side. You know, let's flip it. Let's accentuate the positive. We had an honest to God Hassan Reddick signing over the weekend. So,
yeah, look, most of the time, and I was surprised it was against Washington because Sam Howell. You know, in the Welsh and I's first show this week, I called him Jekyll and Howell. I mean, you know, he looked like a Hall of Famer this week against Philly, and he looked like he didn't deserve to be an NFL quarterback the previous week against Buffalo. So, you know, you just don't know what you're getting from Howell, and he looked great. So Philly's defense was actually on the field a decent amount. Most of the time, they're just running right down the throat of everybody and have the ball for 35 minutes. So, your defense isn't out there, so Reddick isn't making that many plays. But, you know, we'll see about them moving forward. I still think they're really good, but Washington kind of, you know, got in their head there. The guys that are rostered under 50% and performed well, there's a bunch that were over 8 points or more. DJ Wonnum, obviously, with the scoop and score, but he also played 63% of the snaps. He had six tackles and a fumble recovery, obviously.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Adenigbo had a sack and a half and seven tackles. He was in there for around 60%. John Cooper got in there with the scoop and score, I believe, as well, with five tackles for him. Grenard had two sacks. Vita Vea had two sacks. Onyemata had a sack and a half. Mario Edwards, Gross Matos, Kaminsky, Brian Breesy, Devontae Wyatt, and John Jenkins all got to the QB. And then some good tackle totals from Oliver Wise, Broderick Washington got to the QB. Mo Hurst, Malcolm Roach, and Carl Brooks got to the QB as well. So when you look at this list, I mean, we've talked about Grenard, and he's still only 33% rostered. John Cooper's 40% rostered. He had a big week the week before as well. Anybody else on this list that you like?
I think Cooper and Benito are both guys that you should be going after heading in a matchup with the Jets. It seems like it's a fairly favorable one. It's the pool starting to thin because some of these guys are getting grabbed up. But Grenard, that's the guy that you really absolutely should be. I mean, I hate to keep beating the same drum over and over, but why is this guy not rostered on more teams? So I guess we just have to, until he gets picked up by an appropriate number of people, we're just going to have to keep speaking his name.
And the Giants are playing the Dolphins this week, by the way. So maybe snap up Andrew Van Ginkle in that league. I mean, or wherever. The Raiders are playing the Packers. And you said, of course, Broncos against the Jets, whose offensive line looks miserable. Let's go over to linebackers here. Big performances. Obviously from Khalil Mack, who do you know, where does Khalil Mack qualify at end and not linebacker? Cause I know in Fantrax and Yahoo, he's linebacker only.
He's a defensive end at my fantasy league. I know that.
MFL. Okay.
And I would suppose ESPN, he's probably an edge. Flea Flicker, he's probably an edge. And right. Knowing Sleeper, he's probably got dual eligibility there.
Okay. He's 43% rostered. I mean, you got to go get him, right? I mean, he is a boom or bust player a lot of the times, but after a performance like this, I mean, who do the Chargers play this week? Do you expect them to like...
They're on a bye.
No, they're on a bye. Of course they are. So the game after this is against the Cowboys on Monday night. You think he's like going to go off in that game, or do you think he's probably going to like... get a donut or something after his 42 point performance here?
Yeah, that could kind of be a comeback to earth moment because I mean, he hadn't had a sack this season to this point. I mean, I don't want to take anything.
It's a great game.
Yeah. And I don't want to take anything away from it, but you wonder if it was, if you're not going to see a lot of fantasy managers who kind of go, you know, chasing those numbers with and wind up kind of hold the bag, because it's just, I don't know that it's a repeatable performance, but hey, it was fun while I had to start him in one league just because of injuries and stuff on the front. And I think in that particular league, he got me 66 points. And yeah, I won my weekly matchup. So it kind of helps when you have one guy throw 66 points up there.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Six sacks. Who would have expected it? Bobby Wagner, 17 total tackles and the two sacks. We talked about Quay Walker with 19 total tackles. Jordan Brooks also with two sacks and 10 tackles. Quincy Williams, another good performance here, 13 total tackles. A scoop and score. Leighton Vander Esch's first defensive touchdown. I had no idea there. Zaire Franklin with 12 total tackles, half a sack. 11 for Mosley, 10 for Milano, 9 for Fouye and a fumble recovery. 10 for Ernest Jones with a sack, 10 for Roquan, 10 for Fred Warner, 13 for Jordan Hicks, 10 for Greenlaw, 10 for Okereke, 9 for Barton, and 12 for Alex Singleton. The guys that didn't perform as well, Frankie Louvu, Jack Campbell, Caden Ellis, Shaq Leonard, Robert Spillane, Levante David, TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, all under 5 points. Watt and Parsons got nicked up. Watt didn't get to the quarterback, so he's not going to do a lot if he doesn't. So Louvu, Ellis, Shaq Leonard, Robert Spillane, Levante David, and Jack Campbell. I mean, Jack Campbell is not getting enough snaps yet. I think once he does, he'll be a very high valuable guy, but he's still a 61% snap percentage guy here. Shaq Leonard only played 45% of the snaps. I'm not too worried about Louvu and Spillane and Levante David, but Shaq Leonard, I mean, he's a part-time player anymore.
45%. I didn't realize it was that low. That stings. That just, ow.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's reaching the point. I don't know that you can drop, because as soon as you drop him, you know what's going to happen. He's going to go crazy.
90% and have 20 tackles. Right.
Right. But you can't start him right now. I just,
yeah, he's gone. He's been lower every week. 86%, 71%, 69%, 45%. This was the first week that EJ Speed had more snaps than him. It was 55 to 45. So I don't know. I guess just watch for the trend, see if it keeps happening with him, and react accordingly. The players that are rostered under 50% with huge weeks, obviously we talked about Nicholas Morrow, who is 27% rostered on Fantrax, Gary. Three sacks, 11 total tackles, and a forced fumble. Nick Benito for Denver got to the QB 2.5 times. Zach Cunningham had 13 total tackles. He's still only 24% rostered. We talked about Andrew Van Ginkel maybe going up against the Giants this week. He had two sacks in this game against Buffalo. Christian Harris with 13 stops. Nate Landman, as you mentioned, with 10 tackles, 8 for Drew Tranquil and a forced fumble. David Long from Miami had 10 total tackles. Azeez Al-Shaair had 9, and Jelani Tavai had 6 total tackles and a sack. So obviously Morrow, Cunningham are high up there. How are you prioritizing like Christian Harris, Landman, Tranquil, David Long, Azeez Al-Shaair? How would you order that group?
Al-Shaair would probably be at the top, because I know he's going to be a full-time guy the rest of the way. Landman would be up there because, you know, again, that it's a long-term deal. The problem with guys like Tranquil and even Cunningham to a lesser extent, because we're not sure what's going to happen when the Kobe Dean comes back, which he's eligible to come off the injured reserve, I believe, next week.
Yes.
I think week 6. So we're not sure whether, so, you know, you want to go with those guys, if possible, where you're getting a long-term solution, a guy who's going to be playing full-time for 6 weeks instead of just maybe one. Like Drew Tranquil might turn back into a pumpkin this week. We don't know. We don't know if Bolton's going to be back or not.
Right.
So, yeah, you want to, Al-Shaair would probably be my top one of the bunch. He started slow, but I had high expectations for him coming into the season, and it seems like these last couple weeks he's starting to live up to them.
Anybody else I missed that's not on the list here?
You know, a linebacker, I doubt it, because in a lot of leagues, man, the pickings are getting – I know there are some where I'm looking at guys like Derek Barnes, like, well, you know, maybe.
Oof.
Yeah, I know.
That's no good.
No, it ain't. It's really not.
Oh, what are you going
to do, man?
How about the defensive backs here? I mean, Harrison Smith, who you had kind of talked about here. We had put him on notice, but three sacks. He showed up. He was great. Obviously, the 30 points for him, 30 and a half. Antoine Winfield with over 20. Kyle Duggar had over 20 as well. The sack and a forced fumble and the recovery from Winfield. Kyle Duggar had 15 tackles. Cam Curl had 12 total tackles and a sack. 11 for Richie Grant. 11 for Minkah Fitzpatrick. 8 and a pick for Dax Hill. 6 and a sack for Jeremy Chinn, 5 and a pick for Kyle Hamilton, and 10 for Julian Love. So those were your guys that were rostered over 50% and performed. Non-performers, Petrie working his way back. I mean, he played 95% of the snaps, but Houston's defense was just not on the field. Their offense was dominating Pittsburgh. Right. So he only had 5 points. Legarius Sneed only had 4 total stops, 2 solos, 2 assists. Same with Jordan Whitehead. Jalen Thompson had 3 solos, and that's it. Ahmad Gardner had 2 solos and an assist. Xavier McKinney had 2 solos and assist, and Geno Smith yelling at him the entire game. Rayshon Jenkins had 2, and Jamal Adams obviously left with the concussion. So, I don't know. I'm not really big into rostering Ahmad Gardner sauce. You know, he's not the best tackler in the world. He's a cover guy, so he's just not going to get that many tackles. I'm not worried about Petrie or Whitehead or Jalen Thompson or even McKinney. Their defense is just never on the field. Is there anyone on this list you're legit worried about?
I'm afraid to say anything about defensive backs after what I said. You know, I'm telling people, well, you know, maybe you should drop Harrison Smith. And then he turns around and goes completely ballistic laughing.
I mean,
and I wound up hearing about it. So I might have wound up hearing about that, but that's okay. It happens.
I mean, yeah.
It happens.
What are you going to do? I mean, you expect him to have 3 sacks? Has he ever had 3 sacks in a game in his career before?
I'm doubting it, but I know Nicholas Morrow never had 3 sacks in a game either. Nicholas Morrow had 4 sacks in his career going into the game.
Wow, I didn't know it was that low for his career. I mean, yeah. I know, like, he's not really known as a blitzing linebacker. He's mainly a...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Tactical guy, you know.
You know, it depends on what's on your waiver wire and how angry you are at your underperforming defensive back. You know how I feel about defensive backs. I'm never going to tell someone, hey, if you want to get rid of them, just don't come crying to me if, you know. A week later, they rebound, and you're like, well, why did you tell me to cut Harrison Smith?
I mean, defensive backs are easily replaceable. I mean, there's so many
that perform
so well, and that is why we don't have a long leash. By the way, Harrison Smith never had 2 in a game in his career. He had 19 and a half for his career, so to get 3 in one game is amazing. He had a couple sack and a half games. I just quickly was looking through his game log here. So 3 this week. He didn't have any sacks last year. He had 3 total in 2021. Looks like he didn't have any in 2020 at all. And yeah, moving up here, 1 sack in 2019. I think he had 3 total in 2018. So, yeah, I mean, 19 and a half for his career. Yeah, sack and a half in 2017 against the Packers. But other than that, no three sack games. This is a weird year too. Like Kyle Hamilton had three sacks in the last game. So just weird defensive backs getting so many sacks this year. And Devin Witherspoon with two and the pick six last night. He is 45% rostered. Jerron Bland had a pick six. Darius Williams had a pick six. They're both in there. In terms of high scores of this week that are rostered under 50%, Jerry Jacobs with two picks and five solo stops, 12 total tackles for Cam Bynum. He's 48% rostered, but up over 17 points this week. A pick for Ruby Ford. Miles Bryant had 10 tackles. Darius Slay had 11, eight total tackles and a pick for Kenny Moore. Kareem Jackson had eight and a pick, four and a pick for Sam Franklin. That was a pick six. Trayvon Morig with a pick as well. Delarin Turner Yell on this list twice. Now nine solo stops in this game, 10 for Nick Scott, six and a pick for Yiadam. I mean, Samuel down here, Forbes had nine stops as a rookie. Juju Brents had nine stops and 96% of the snap share in his second game. Julian Blackman, Michael Davis. So tons and tons of defensive backs here. Let's just start with Witherspoon. I mean, I know it was an enormous game, and I know from watching him in Illinois, he can go in and get sacks. He's around the ball a lot. Is this a guy you're picking up, or are you kind of chalking this up to there's a rookie corner, everyone was getting sacks, he just happened to be in the right spot for the pick six? Like, how do you see Witherspoon moving forward?
Kind of a fluke game. I mean, if you're playing in an IDP league where quarterbacks are required, I absolutely think he's worth a pickup. Now, the problem, again, is Seattle's on a bye this week. So are you willing to use that extra spot? And sometimes, you know, you have to – sometimes it can be smart to go get that guy off the waiver wire who is going into the bye, kind of that preemptive strike. But – I don't know, in standard IDP leagues, the guys I'd be going after in the more traditional IDP leagues are probably Blackman. Nick Scott's been kind of up and down, but that's his second double-digit tackle game of the year. Of course, he did it on my bench because last week he had two total tackles in my starting lineup. So Scott and he had 10 tackles. So all you need to do with Nick Scott is shoot me a tweet at IDP Sharks and ask me if I'm starting him or benching. If I'm starting him, you should bench him. If I'm benching him, you should start him. Can't fail. Will absolutely work every time. The problem with Turner Yell in Denver is that we don't know, you know, I don't know what Justin Simmons' status is for this week. And once Simmons comes back, he turns into a pumpkin. But guys like Blackman and Scott and Cam Bynum especially, he should be up over. I mean, I know he's creeping up toward that 50% number, but he should be much higher than that. He is consistently going out there and putting up 8, 10, 12. I mean, 8 tackles is like a low week for him. He is putting up numbers each and every week, and that kind of consistency at defensive back should be enough to earn you a roster spot.
Is there anybody else we missed here on, you know, defensive backs or anywhere else, anyone else you put in your column to pick up that we didn't talk about?
I see Landman. Talk about Morrow a little bit. I don't know, some just linebackers. I'm starting to talk up some guys that I'm like, do you really want to add this guy? I mean, I'm looking at Derek Barnes on the waiver wire. Like, yeah, I know he only plays about 70% of the snaps, but at least he can go out there and give me 12 points.
And it feels like at any week for him, it could be less, right? Like, as soon as they want to hand over the reins to Jack Campbell.
So far, they haven't been in any hurry to do that, though, and they're winning. That's the thing for me is that so long as Detroit keeps winning games, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I just don't feel like that they're in any – I don't feel like they're in the hurry that the IDP community is to get Campbell out there. So I don't know how long it's going to be before we see that change around.
Yeah, and look, they just won, right? So you can't really knock them for winning.
Yeah, it's 3-1 and all alone in first place in the NFC North. And that defense looks, I mean, light years better than the Lions defense. You know, last year they were dead last in the NFL in total defense. Might have been dead last in scoring defense. I mean, their defense was terrible. They didn't have one. Teams just marched up and down the field on them. So to see that kind of improvement, And you add that to an offense that, you know, you got David Montgomery. And it's kind of Jack Campbell. It's kind of a similar situation to what we're seeing with Jahmyr Gibbs. You got a fantasy football community that is freaking out. Why is Jahmyr Gibbs not getting more carries? What the hell is wrong with you, Dan Campbell? David Montgomery just ran for over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, we just saw this movie last year with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. I mean, do y'all not remember a year ago? So I don't think there's going to be, you know, the kind of sea change that maybe we might be seeing in Miami with the Shane and Raheem Mostert. I don't know that we're going to see that.
I mean, I think what we're seeing specifically out of Detroit is that, for Montgomery, is that the Bears were the problem, not David Montgomery. David Montgomery looks awesome. He looks like Iowa State David Montgomery, who was amazing coming into the NFL. And it really seems like maybe Chicago was the issue. So,
and I know people keep telling me I'm crazy, but if I had A-Chain right now, I would be shopping him like great. To me, he is he's got sell high written all over it.
I don't think so at all. He's a guy that doesn't need a ton of touches. He's a home run hitter. So he's like a 10 to 12 touch guy.
His
so.
Value right now is at its apex.
People
have A-Chain. They have A-Chain fever.
But do you think that
it's like Puka Nacua?
Well, I mean, Puka has a legit, you know, offensive player of the year coming back to usurp him. Jeffrey Wilson Jr. is not going to do anything to A-Chan. So,
yeah, but it's like Mostert's been bad this year. I mean, he wasn't great.
Yeah, but they already gave A-Chan more touches this week and more snaps.
Well, they were playing from behind, though.
Okay, but I mean, even more reason when you're playing from behind, you have your best player on the field, right?
Well, you got your passing down guy out there. I don't think Raheem Mostert's necessarily going to go away. I don't know.
I don't think so either.
I don't know. And again, you know, if you're getting 10, 12 touches a game, you know, counting on him to average 12 yards a touch every game, that's asking an awful lot from the kid. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's been fantastic these last couple of games, which is all the more reason. I'm not saying I'd give him away. I'm just saying if people are coming at you with some offers that will get you some quality, sell high. That's the whole point of selling high, is to get the best return you can get for a guy before, you know, when his value is at his absolute tippy top. And I don't know that where's his value going to go from here? I mean, people are already talking him up as a top 10 running back for the rest of the season.
I think I were actually talking about this yesterday. I think he is a mid RB2 to high RB2 for the rest of the year, depending on matchup. I think that's what A-Chan is. And the reason I think that is, or A-Chan, it's like 4chan, I guess, is what we're saying. It's just not chain, I guess. So even though he could have said this during the combine, by the way, and we all would have been, not screwing his name.
You know, they always wait until they've been playing in the NFL for 4 years and then say, hey, you know, all you guys have been saying my name wrong this entire time. And
it's call me Giancarlo instead of Mike. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You could have told me so.
Yeah. We called you Okariki forever. Come on, man.
Hey, I had to look up Toa Toa. I had literally looked up a little YouTube thing on how to pronounce it because I had no idea what to do with Toto. I was like, I don't know. So I did. I looked it up and they had a little thing and said, and according to YouTube, the little video, it's Toa Toa. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm calling him from now on. And that's probably wrong.
Yeah.
The CBS guy this past weekend was calling him, I think, Toa Toa. And I'm like,
I thought it was Toyota, like that. But I don't know. So don't listen.
And then he'll come out 2 years from now and be like, you guys are all wrong. It's Tutu.
Yeah, it's pronounced Toyota. One more thing before we leave here, Gary, are there teams now that we're a month in, we've seen every team 4 times. Is there a team that you look at and you go, This team is just a good matchup for IDPs. Obviously, the Giants are the Raiders have been pretty solid. We just saw, you know, the Giants, whoever they were playing, were on the field because they scored so quick. Is there any other team that you're like, man, this is a good IDP matchup?
Well, you know what? Let me take a quick gander. Because, you know, there's sometimes there's matchups where you want to say, well, I mean, given how much the Atlanta Falcons run the ball, that should be a good matchup for linebackers. But that's not necessarily the case.
Typically, like, defensive backs whoever the Rams play, you know, because they pass so much. Same thing with the Bucks.
You know, like the Ravens are probably going to be a good matchup for linebackers. They're fifth in points allowed. That shouldn't be surprising. What is surprising is who's first in points allowed. It's the Kansas City Chiefs are leading the league in fantasy points allowed linebackers. That is mind-boggling to me, and I can't imagine that will stay there because they're normally at the bottom of the league in fantasy points allowed
linebackers. It's all safeties. The last guy making an impact against the Chiefs.
Right, and have been for pretty much the entire Patrick Mahomes era. You know, Cleveland's a team probably going to be a good matchup for linebackers because they have been for years. And I don't know that that will necessarily – I don't know that it will be as good as it has been with Nick Chubb, with Jerome Ford back there. But I still – the Browns are going to at least try.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Head rushers, Chicago. The Tennessee offensive line is looking like hot garbage. You mentioned the Giants. On the back end, probably going to be your high-octane offenses and ones that are mistake-prone. Minnesota Vikings are second fantasy points allowed to safeties. Eagles are third. The Carolina Panthers are first. But like I said, you want one of two things. You either want a team that's moving the ball like crazy or likes to turn it over. So, and a month gives us some kind of sample size. So, you know, we have some kind of idea what the matchups are going to look like right now. But we could be looking at them 8 weeks into the season and be looking at a vastly different picture. So, you know, you always want to consider the matchups when you're setting your lineup, but don't put a metric ton of stock, into a four-week sample size. It's big enough that you can take something from it, but I don't know that I'd bet the farm on it. Now, however, if you go back and look, I'd say the 2022 numbers and the 2023 numbers, and you've got a team that's, say, top five in both years, then that is probably a pretty good indicator to you that what you have is a quality matchup.
Okay. Well, thanks for outlining it for us. You know, I mean, I like just getting information and, you know, just starting to see trends. You know, it's tough when, you know, you look and through the first 2 weeks, you're like, well, this team is giving up the most amount of rush yards and blah, blah, blah. I mean, normally the numbers don't even really start mattering till halfway through the year, which is kind of tough. But, you know, just in some in general matchups now that we're a month in, I think are good to set. So that is going to wrap it up for us this week. We will be back for you next week. Remember to follow us on the Twitter at Boggan Sports for myself, at IDP Sharks for Gary, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.